Hopefully everybody got one of these books as you came in, Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon. If you didn't get one, raise your hand and we will have one of the ushers bring one to you. This isn't one of those books where we give one per family. We want everyone to have one so you are able to have it on your own. So you might have five of them around the house if you, depending on how many members of your family there are. So we try to hand out good books throughout the year that would be a blessing to our congregation and encourage you to read. And Charles Spurgeon was an incredible preacher from England, and over the last 100 years plus, this book has been read by thousands and thousands and thousands of people, his most published work, and I think you'll enjoy it a lot, and we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. So let's turn our Bibles to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. This particular psalm is by far one of my favorites, and I'd like to read through it as we begin this morning. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. We see the psalmist here, David, writing this particular psalm in the midst of his time in the wilderness, a time of difficulty that was in David's life, and he comes forward with this psalm coming forth from his lips as far as, this is my heart towards God. I read a psalm like this, and I think I want this kind of heart within me. I want to have these kind of thoughts be the kind of thoughts that come out of my mind throughout the day. And I look at this, and we're approaching a new year, although Pastor Matt began the service by saying, Happy New Year. It's not yet the new year. There was people in the back making fun of you. I wasn't one of them. I'll just do it in front of everybody. But we're approaching a new year, and in a few days we'll say Happy New Year. And we'll be approaching another time where we frequently make resolutions and we think about changes that we would maybe want to make in our lives. Some of you maybe have been here over the last couple of years where we've looked at sections maybe from Jonathan Edwards and his resolutions, and resolutions like resolve to live with all my might while I do live, and resolve to do all to the glory of God, or resolve to live as I shall wish I had done when I come to die, and that mind of that frame of mind where it's just, how am I living? What am I doing? And so as we approach the new year, I want to encourage you to make this a year where your fellowship with God, your communion with Him is as sweet as it could possibly be. Where our aim is to think as the psalmist thinks, that we would pray and say, God, give us a heart that's like the heart of David in Psalm 63, regardless of our circumstances, regardless whether we are in times of plenty or whether we're in times of being in the desert or being in the wilderness, regardless of whether there's people on the attack against us, as David finds himself in this particular situation, or whether things are great, but where we would be a people who thirst after him. And so the theme of this morning's message would be thirsting for him. What does that mean? Brian Smith, who's at the church here, back here, I told him at the donut table I was going to use him as an illustration. Brian and I shared an office for a number of years at a previous church, and there were a lot of practical jokes that went back and forth, like a couple years ago. I do fun things, like after Christmas, like a week after Christmas, 25 Christmas trees, 30 Christmas trees might have ended up on his front yard, on his lawn, like a forest. And that wouldn't be so bad. I mean, we just collected them from people that were throwing them away and set them all up. It was awesome. He got upset, though, because we decorated some of them and lit them up and used his electricity to light them up. And he was just thinking, what do my neighbors think? Like, why does he do that? Why does he decorate his lawn a week after Christmas? Fun things like that. There's been others. Once I put a bunch of black stuff on his glasses, like on the rim of his glasses, his sunglasses, and he left to go to the bank and do all his things and was gone for quite a while. He came back and went in the bathroom and saw that there was huge black lines all the way around his eyes. And he's like, I was wondering why the bank teller was laughing at me for so long. Like, I'm like, what are you laughing at? You know, there's nothing funny here. Fun stuff I would do to him. He did mean stuff sometimes, like, we were in Sudan, and I had been there for quite a while, and Sudan can be incredibly hot. There's no way to refrigerate anything, and so you just have your water that's there that you bring in, and frequently I wouldn't have the space on the plane to bring in water, so we'd bring in water filters, and I just think of, you know, they give you this little water filter, and they say, oh, it'll just purify anything. You can take the grossest water and stick it through here, and you can drink it. And I remember thinking, yeah, right. You know, like, there's no way it could take out everything that's bad, you know. And I remember first just portioning my water and thinking, okay, well, if I just drink this much per day, I'll be okay. I'll be able to make it to the end. And then 3 days later, it's all gone. And I'm thinking, oh, man, you know. And then saying, oh, I'll just portion my Gatorade powder so I can make the bad water taste good at least for a certain amount of time, and then that's all gone. And so at a point of just pumping water, trying to make it so it's clean, purifying it and drinking that, and it's all warm because it's so hot there, and this plane comes in, and Brian says, do you hear there's ice-cold Cokes on that plane? I'm like, you gotta be kidding. Ice cold Cokes on a plane? Like, I was so excited. It's one of those things where you sit around at night, you know, day after day saying, what would you do for a Slurpee right now? You know, and what would you do for an ice cold Coke right now? And I was just at a point where I was, I'd do anything for an ice cold Coke. I was so thirsty. We walked a long distance to get to this particular plane. We get there. I'm thirsty. I'm so thirsty. And Brian says, ice cold Cokes in that bucket right over there. He goes, get one before they're all gone. And I was like, oh. I was thinking, like, you are a true friend. This is amazing. So I went over there to get that Coke, that ice cold Coke. I could just imagine it. I open the lid, put my hand in. There's a dead goat. He was so pleased with himself. But that's what I call mean. That is just mean. But maybe you've been in a place where you're thirsty, just so thirsty. You get that cotton mouth where you would just do anything for water. At weddings sometimes I get nervous, and especially when I say things wrong at particular times, which I did with my sister's wedding and Brian, which maybe came out as Ryan. And so right after that happened, I'm thinking, I'm going to mess up. And so my mouth just, it goes totally dry. And I'm sitting there, I'm just thinking, oh, and I'm trying to talk. And I have my little sister in front of me in the midst of her wedding just going, water, water, throughout the ceremony. But a point maybe where you would just want water more than anything. I could think of times running races. Believe it or not, I used to do that. And I would run cross country and 3-mile race. And at the 2-mile mark of our course, which they prided themselves with, it's the hardest course in Orange County. And you'd get to the top of this hill and it was the longest, hardest hill, and they would always have this table of water up at the top, and you would just get to the top and grab it and drink it and head down for the last mile. And I remember just always looking forward to getting to the top of that hill to get the water. And you're cranking up the hill, and you're just like, oh, there's water at the top of that hill, and wanting water so badly that you would just do anything for it. And you see that where the psalmist says, oh, God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. The way that somebody would desire water, if they were in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water, they're traveling, and it's not like you just have bottled water with you or there's drinking fountains every once in a while. It was trying to get to the next water hole or trying to get to the next place where there was a little creek, trying to get to the next place in a place like the Middle East, you can imagine, in that particular region where Israel is and all about there. A lot of times, you were just looking forward more than anything to getting to that next location, to getting some water. And David says, that's how I seek him. God, you're my God. You're my God. I belong to you, and you have made it so that I have this relationship with you. Oh, God, you're my God. Early I'll seek you. Early in the morning, from the very beginning. And your version may say, earnestly I'll seek you. And it comes from the phrase dawn, that word originally comes from, and can be used either way, either early in the morning or earnestly I'll seek you. But in the King James Version, it says, early I will seek you. Earnestly, early. We get other passages in Scripture where, for example, in Psalm 5, verse 3, it says, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I'll look up. In the morning. The very beginning of the day, I just want to spend time with you. Early, I'll seek you. And that's part of why we thought, what better gift can we give to our congregation than something where together as a church, we're building each other up, we're encouraging one another. And so we gave you morning and evening. And what it does is Charles Spurgeon goes through and it does a devotion, a one-page devotion for the morning, one-page devotion in the evening. And it's centered around Scripture and centered around Christian living and how we could be built up as Christians. And it ought not to take the place of our time in God's Word, but a time where we can maybe read this and be thinking about the same things. And Pastor Jim's working it out to where there's a blog on the Reverence Bible Church website. And starting on January 1st, there'll be a blog entry on the morning entry and a blog entry on the evening entry. And you can post comments as far as what God has done in your heart as you've gone through that particular section. And we as a congregation can build each other up over the next year. It's not legalistic. You don't have to do it. It's something where if you desire to do it, it'd be a blessing to the rest of the congregation and hopefully a blessing to you. And from wherever you're at work or from home, you can look and see what's there and post some comments to be a blessing to the rest of the congregation every morning, every evening throughout this year as we spend time with him. But the psalmist says, early I'll seek you. My soul, it thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I pray that that would be how we are towards the Lord our God. I just want to spend time with you. Not just a little bit, but I want you more than anything else that this world could ever offer. Thirsting for you like as if I was in this dry and thirsty land where there's no water and all I want is that water. Thirsting for him like that. You see also in the Psalms where we sang a song about this just as our last song where it says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As the deer, as you can picture, just panting for the water brooks, wanting those water brooks, the psalmist says, so pants my soul for you. It's how I desire you. I want you more than anything else. Some of us may be here this morning saying, is this realistic, though? Knowing your heart, knowing the state of your heart, and you say, there's so many distractions. There's so many things that are there that cause me to struggle with morning devotions or struggle with evening devotions or struggle seeking Him throughout the day. I look at this and I want to have this. I want to have a relationship where it's just early I seek you, I spend time with you. In the evening I think on you, I meditate on you. But is it realistic? I know that I could say I'm going to do this, but the bottom line is tomorrow I could wake up and push the snooze button several times or forget as I'm so tired in the evening. I encourage you to think on the fact that if you have been in a place where you are just close with God, you know the joy of being close with Him. Maybe it was on a retreat. Maybe it was in your own personal time of devotions. Maybe it was when you're at a particular location or on a mission trip. You could picture just the worship that was there and how sweet the worship was. And thinking of your time just reading God's Word. And you look and you think, I can't wait to the next vacation where I can just wake up at a, you know, regular hour and just spend time in God's Word. But on a daily basis, I have so many distractions. But genuinely in your heart, you want that. On a daily basis, you want it. And I think on this, and I think God's glorified even when we fail. But we say, God, I want a heart that's like this. I want to be having thoughts come into my mind where it's just, I want you like as if I were in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. That's how I want you. And yet I'm so prone to wander. I think of that water that's there at the top of the hill when I'm running that race and I'm at the 1 mile mark and I look at this hill and I think, oh man, I got a mile up this hill and yet when I get to the top, there's that water that's there. Even though I haven't yet been able to partake in the water, even though I haven't been refreshed by the water at that particular point, my desire to get there, my desire to drink it, in a sense, glorifies the water before I ever even get it. Does that make sense? I'm looking at that water and I'm just thinking, I can't wait to get to the top. I can't wait to get to the table. I can't wait to take that water and just drink it. My mouth is so dry, I want it more than anything. And so you're racing up the hill and you want to get there. You're not yet there, but you're just going as fast as you can because you can't wait to get to the top to get that water. The water's glorified when you're still at the bottom of the hill. Because you know how precious it is. You know how it's going to quench your thirst. You know how it's going to be better than anything else that you could ever desire at that particular point. And for us as Christians, there's times where we're not thinking as the psalmist is thinking here. I would guarantee you that not every moment of every day in the life of David does he think like he does in Psalm 63. But for us, if that is our passion, if that's our goal, God, you're my God. Early, I'll seek you. More than anything, I thirst for you. My flesh longs for you like in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I want you more than anything. And you look and you're just like, I just want to spend time with you. I want to commune with you. I want to worship you. I want to have the intimacy that I know to be so sweet with you. Help me to get to that place. Help me to remember to get to that place. Help me to find time and reserve time to spend with you to get to that place. Even though we haven't yet got there, we glorify Him because we say, we know that you're the source of living water. We know that you're the one that can make it so that our thirst is quenched, where we never thirst again. We have everything that we could ever desire found solely and completely in you. The desire to get there glorifies Him even before we get there. So we look at this morning and we say, God, help us to have a heart that's like the psalmist here. thirsting for him. I think of in Psalm 84, verse 2, where he says, or get it there at the right time. Maybe I'll get some kind of pleasure from this. I want to go after the broken cistern. And God says, it holds no water. You've committed two evils. First, you forsook me, and now you're going after the things that could never satisfy you. And I think it's important for us as we look at our lives, as we approach this new year, looking and saying, what are the broken cisterns in our lives? What is it that we spend the majority of our time going after? Is it sin? Is it something where we're trying to find pleasure in things that God would say, it's not me? You're consumed with this hobby. You're consumed with trying to please this particular person. You're consumed with money. You're consumed with even fitness. Whatever it is that consumes so much of your time that you're never going to the fountain of living waters to just spend time with him. And for us, it's so critical that we find a balance between the two, to where we're not going after broken cisterns, but we know that we have things to do in this world. But in it all, it's in fellowship and in communion with the Lord our God, drinking from him on a regular basis, spending time with him, having him be the center of all that we do in this life, all to the glory of him, working our hardest to the glory of God, parenting to the glory of God, looking at our marriages and working hard in them to the glory of God, doing the hobbies that we have, but doing it to the glory of God. He's the center. It's not God over here and all these other things on this side, but we look and we say, no, if it doesn't work to bring more glory and honor to him, then it ought not to be a part of my life. It's a broken cistern that holds no water. And so thirsting for God means looking and going after him, spending time with him. I know that it'll require dependence upon him for us to do any of these things. Prone to wander, as we'll sing. Are we going to sing that? Yes, we're going to sing that in a moment. Thought I saw that. You see where in the third stanza there, oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Daily, morning and evening, I am a great debtor to the grace of God. I depend upon it. At all times in our lives, we depend upon God's grace to enable us to do anything. There's nothing, literally, apart from him, we can do nothing. And so we approach our day saying, God, help us. Help us to be close with you. Help us to hate the broken cisterns of this world and desire you above all other things. I depend upon you in all these things. Saying words like, let thy goodness like a fetter. A fetter is those shackles that you would put on somebody that's in prison. I want your goodness to be that. It goes around my ankles. It makes it so I can't go because I'm prone to. He says, bind my wandering heart to thee. Make it so that I'm not going to wander. I don't want to wander. I want to be close with you. I want to be in fellowship with you. I want to hate the things of the world and love the things of God. Take me, God, please, and let your goodness be like a fetter. It just binds my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. Can you identify with the writer here of this hymn? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to leave the God I love. Crazy. I'm prone to leave the fountain of living waters and go after the broken cisterns that hold no water. I'm prone to do it. God, take my heart and seal it. Let your goodness be a fetter that just makes me see that your loving kindness is better than all of life. Better than anything else in this world, that is who you are. Help me just to stay there and be there with you. Are there things that we can do to help in that? Well, yeah. In the morning, early, seeking him. As you look towards the end of this hymn in verse 6, or this psalm in verse 6, it says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." It's not just early in the morning, but even when I'm on my bed, thinking of him, remembering him. Not only remembering him, but meditating on him. And when it says the night watches, in this particular setting, he's talking about times where it's night, you're afraid you're going to be attacked. He's got enemies all around him, and he's saying, I'm going to meditate on you in the night watches. When things look difficult, when things are hard, when I'm scared, I want to have my thoughts be just fixed upon you. He works all things together for good. All things. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I want to meditate upon you. Count it all joy when I fall into various trials, knowing the testing of my faith produces patience. Patience have its perfect work, that I might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God, you're molding me, you're conforming me. I trust you. You have everything in control. I trust you. I'll rest with you. Meditating upon him, meditating upon his sovereignty, meditating upon his grace, meditating upon the mercy that you have found in him, meditating on the fact that he's at all places, at all times, that there's nothing outside of his control, that he's a God that loves you and delights to do good to you, and a God that will take everything in the end and work it all together for good, thinking on these things, thinking that you could trust him, thinking that you could depend on him, meditating upon him in the night watches. He says in verse 3, or let's look at verse 2, "So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." Part of what we could do is taking time to look to him. I want to see power. I want to see your glory. I want to see it. How do you see the power and the glory of God? First and foremost, in his word. Looking in his word, spending time in God's word, reading through his word, developing a gigantic view of who he is. I'll encourage you when things are difficult, and I'll encourage you when things are good. Looking at him and saying, I want to see your power. I want to see your glory. If you're anything like me, you love going to cool places, seeing things that are powerful. I love places like Niagara Falls. Love it. Tosh and I went there this last year as we were visiting some relatives. Water just billowing over those falls, and it's just you could stand hundreds of yards away and you're just soaking wet from the mist that comes to hit you. Incredible power. Looking at a huge mountain, looking at something that you is just amazing, such as General Sherman that's there up in Sequoias, this gigantic tree, biggest tree that at least anybody in the United States tells us about. They say there's bigger ones, but they don't want us to go there, lest we damage the little ones. But I think that it's one of the biggest. And so you look at it, though, and it's massive. You're amazed at it. No one goes to someplace like Niagara Falls and says, it's not that great. You always look and say, it's glorious. How much more so when we go to the Lord our God, looking upon him, spending time in his word to say, there's nothing better than you. That's how the psalmist responds. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Your loving kindness is better than anything this life could ever offer. Thus, I'll praise you. I encourage you to get a worship CD, unless you're able to play yourself, which most of us probably can't do well. Getting a worship CD. I Pastor Jim got me a CD from the Together for the Gospel conference of all these hymns that these men, mostly men, but all these pastors that were there, over 5,000 guys, were there just worshiping, singing all these hymns, and they put together this live CD of all the hymns being sung. And last night I just listened to it until about 3-something in the morning as I was preparing it. I just thought, oh, sweet as it could possibly be. Worship. Just listening, and I could listen for hours and just hear it and just listen to the words and say, how amazing are these words? Singing it, the Lord our God. I was listening to this hymn that we'll sing in a few minutes. Oh, the deep, deep love. And reading, you know, listening to it as I was hearing it last night and saying things like, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me is the current of your love, leading onward, leading homeward to the glorious rest above. The deep love of Jesus, it's like this mighty ocean, and it's all around me. His love is all around me. It just billows over me, rolling as this mighty ocean. It cannot be improved upon, the love of God, the deep, deep love of God. How he came to pay our ransom through the saving cross he bore. How he watches over his loved ones, those he died to make his own. How for them he's interceding, pleading now before the throne. Oh, the deep, deep love. All I need and trust is the deep, deep love of Jesus. And you sing songs like that, and it's just praise coming forward from your mouth. I encourage you, get a CD like that. Spend time where you're driving and it's just the deep, deep love of Jesus to be able to think on these things, this fount of every blessing, and singing songs to him, but taking time to be with him, early in the morning seeking him. He says, thus I'll bless you while I live. I'll lift up my hands in your name. I'll praise you. There's passion that's behind there, passion where it's just with everything, I'll praise you. One of the biggest blessings for me pastoring this church is I'll see people come in and maybe they just don't know the songs, but when they first come, sometimes they'll come and there's no real singing that takes place. They're just kind of there and they're, you know, and they may read the words as it goes. And some people just, that's how they worship. They enjoy that. But it's a joy for me to watch people sometimes where they've been here for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and all of a sudden it's just, you see them and with everything inside them, they're praising him. And you see that with the psalmist. I'll lift up my hands in your name. I'll praise you with everything. My soul, it shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. And literally, that's abundance. My soul is going to be satisfied with abundance. Satisfied. Who else can satisfy us but the Lord our God? My soul, it's satisfied with everything that I could ever want. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. The wording here, the psalmist is saying, I'm in the midst of the wilderness, and yet I'm satisfied in you, and my lips, they're filled with joy. There's joy in horrible circumstances because, oh God, you are my God. Your loving kindness is better than all of life, anything this world could ever offer. I've meditated upon that, and there's just a smile that comes upon my face. My hands rise up. I sing praise to you because of who you are. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches because you've been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. What words. Psalmist saying, I'm in the shadow of your wings. Picturing himself there, and you could picture a gigantic eagle or some other kind of powerful bird like that. If you've ever seen one of those things, they're amazing to look at, the strength of an eagle. I remember one time I was walking on campus at my college, and I was watching this little pigeon fly through the air, and this hawk comes in and just grabs it right out of the air. Feathers all over the place, and I'm like, whoa. Like right there before me, I didn't see anybody else around, just right midair grabs the pigeon, takes it up into the tree. And this was just the worst discernment, there's been far worse, but it was horrible discernment. I decided maybe I should save the little pigeon. How dumb am I? I go up and it's in the tree. That thing drops the pigeon, comes down at my head. I hit the ground, hit the ground, got up running, towards the library, get me to shelter. And I didn't care. And I got to the library and I'm thinking, who watched that? I am ridiculous. I tried to scare a hawk. It wanted to kill me. And I literally down on my stomach and then full sprint to the library. This thing's going to kill me. You look at these things and they're just powerful. And you can imagine, I hate that story. I can imagine this, the psalmist saying, it's in the shadow of your wings. In a place where I'm there and I'm protected by you, it's in those times, I rejoice. I know I'm safe. I'm in the shadow of your wings. I know that I'm safe. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. You want to keep from sin? Follow close behind him. Right there in his word, morning and evening, spending time with him, thinking on him, not just Sunday morning, not just when you're at church, but morning and evening being with him. And throughout the day, you even hear in Psalm 55, verse 17, it says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening and morning and at noon. Throughout the day, spending time with the Lord our God. Following close behind him to where, in those times where we might stumble, his right hand upholds us. Little Jonathan will grab my hand and just walk with me. It's this new thing. Come on, come with me. I'm going to take you to where I want to go. And he'll grab my hand and we'll walk and we'll go to whatever toy he wants to play with. But you can see him when he's walking on his own. He does pretty well now. But when he's got my hand, he knows that he's not going to fall. And there's been times where he's almost falling. He'll grab my hand and he's safe. Doesn't stumble. We need that as believers. Being so close to him that when we might fall, we just grab his hand. It's right there. It upholds us. And it says, but those who seek my life to destroy it shall go in the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. Those that want to hurt me, those who are my enemies, God, you're in control of them. They're not receiving blessing. I'm in the place where I ought to be. I trust you. And most people would say this is at a point where the psalmist is a king, and he says, but the king, even though the enemies are all around, the king shall rejoice in God. Rejoice in him. Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Trusting in a great God, being amazed at a great God, being close with a God who is right there with us. I encourage you as believers, depend upon him. Depend upon him. Say, God, here's my life. Take it and have your goodness be like a fetter that just binds me to you. I know I'm going to wander. Take my life, Lord, and just make it so it's consecrated totally and completely to you. Make it so that I just belong to you and I'm with you and I'm close. I can't do it on my own. I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to go over here. God, please enable me to stay here. If this is your way, Lord, of doing it, to be in your word morning and evening and reading from other people from our congregation and encouraging them and having them encourage me, praise be to God with it. Being in your word, spending time with you in prayer, looking up to you in prayer, morning, evening, and at noon, spending time with you. I want want to approach this new year looking at it as a year of intimacy with Christ, maybe in a way that's different than you ever have before. Not to where when we fail in these things, there's incredible guilt that comes upon us, but looking and saying, I just desire it. I desire it. More than anything, I desire it. And then, like that water at the top of the hill, he's glorified even now. As we approach this year, saying, God, with you, morning and evening with you. Hopefully this will be a blessing to our congregation as we spend time building each other up. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for our time and your word and the psalm this morning. Lord, we depend upon your Holy Spirit this morning to accomplish what you desire to accomplish in each one of our hearts. Make it so that we're right there in the shadow of your wings, where your right hand is upholding us. Help us to desire to seek you, to remember you, to meditate upon you. And I pray that you would be pleased through the praises of your people this morning. May it come forth from our hearts and exalt you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.